You're listening to Amud V'Chasar with them, Eli Eisenberg, Masecha, Shabbos, Daf, Kuf, Yud, Ches. And that's Amud Aleph and Amud Beis. We're catching up from Shavuot. So this is Tuesday's Amud and Wednesday's Amud. A lot of very interesting Gemaras here, a lot of beautiful Agadata regarding Shabbos, minority opinions, or opinions at least that we don't follow the halacha regarding a certain Hilchos Shabbos, as well as some other general agadata and practice for life and Midas Chasidus. So let's get right in. We quoted earlier on Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, we have a Mishnah, a brand new Mishnah, which talks about saving meals, right? There's a house that's on fire, you want to save food, the Rabbanan put a limitation on how much food you could save, and how many things you can save in general, lest you come to try to save everything and put out the fire. So they put a limitation, you can only take food for three meals. There's a machlokas, the Tana Kama says that you don't necessarily take all three meals. It depends on the time of the day. If it follows, right, if it's at night before you ate, then you can collect three meals worth. But if it's already morning, only two meals. If it's already after the daytime meal, you can only collect one meal for Shal Shudas, etc. And the Rabbi Yossi argues with the Tanna Kamma and says, no, whether it's the beginning of Shabbos, end of Shabbos, doesn't matter, you have permission to take three meals. Now, our Gemara analyzes that. We are four lines from the bottom, at the end of the fourth line from the bottom on Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, quoting the Mishnah, Ketzad Nafla. So Ketzad, how does this work out? Nafla Delika V'chule, if the flame fell at this point, and then it goes on. Tanna Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, Kama Sudos Chayav Adam Lechol B'Shabbos. How many Sudos does a person have to eat on Shabbos? So the Tanna Kama says, Shalosh. Rabbi Chidka Omer Arba. This is very interesting, right? Usually we're used to the concept of three meals on Shabbos, Shalosh Su'udos, and the third one being called Shalosh Shudos, right? Su'udash Lishis, Shalosh Shudos is Shalosh Su'udos. And Rabbi Chidka says that actually there are four. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Vishne Mikra Echadarshu. They're both sourced in the same Pasuk. But as the Pasuk says, by Parshas Peshalach, regarding the Man, Vayomer Moshe Ichluhu Hayom Ki Shabbos Hayom La Hashem Hayom Lo Suim Suhu Basodeh, that you shall, that you're going to eat today, because today is Shabbos for Hashem. Today you're not going to go out and find anything in the field. So we have three mentions of Hayom, 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 Hayom. That is an allusion to the three meals on Shabbos. Typically, most poskim hold that this, most Rishonim hold, and therefore poskim hold that this is an asmachta. It is not a mitzvah deraisa to have three meals on Shabbos. Might be a kiyum of oneg, which also is a discussion whether that's deraisa or not. But it itself, of having three meals, most hold that it's a din derabanan, and it's alluded to, by these three hayoms over here. This pasuk is quoted some, there those are knowing to have like some sort of, kiddush by Shalosh Shudos, right? It's, and definitely Alpi Kabbalah, there's reason to do that, to have some sort of kiddush, even lahalacha, the Rambam says you should have grape juice, or, well, he says really wine, but you can have wine or grape juice. There is such a need to have that by Shalosh Shudos, and some interpret the Rambam to say you should make kiddush. But anyway, those who do make this kiddush, it's quoting this pasuk. But Rav Chidka, so how do they see that? So Rav Chidka savar hani tlasa hayom levar meursa. Rav Chidka says, yeah, it's three hayoms, and that's all talking about during the day. It's not talking about the nighttime meal. So it's, you have your nighttime meal, right? Friday night suda. And then the next day, hayom, 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 you should have three daytime meals, right? You know, it's hard enough to have shalosh shudas sometimes, in the winter. So he ran to Rav Chidka, you should have three meals. The Rabbanon Savri Bahade de Ursa, and the Rabbanon say, no, this is three meals overall. It's the Yom HaShabbos, right? We're Makadesh the Yom. It starts at night, and therefore all three of these are then. So now we're going to try to take a look and see, does our Mishnah that we quoted, does that follow the Rabbanon strictly, or is there a possible way to read it into Rechidka? So Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Nafla Deleika Belele Shabbos, now we're up on Kuf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, Matzilin Mazon Gimel Su'udos. So it says we saved three meals. Why three? Why not four? My Lav Delo Achal, isn't this where he didn't eat his meal. Yeah, that's the assumption. He didn't eat, right? And that's how Rashi explained it. Remember, the Mishnah wasn't explicit, but the Rashi explained it like that. That, you know, he didn't eat his meal yet, and he's allowed to collect three meals. Must be that the Tan of our Mishnah holds like the Rabbanan. The Gemara responds, Lo, da'achal. No, could be that it's talking about he saved three meals. That's he already ate his Friday night meal, and now it's talking about after the Friday night meal, he's benching, and all of a sudden there's a fire, so he can save three more meals worth. Okay, and then the Gemara is going to go in the similar pattern. Well, so the quotes in the Mishnah: Shacharis Matzil and Mazon Shtei Seudos. My Lav Delo Achal. So it says in the morning you can collect two. Why isn't that before he had his Shabbos lunch when he got home from Shul? No. So the Gemara says Lo De Achal. No, it's talking about right after his lunch. Then he can save two meals, one for Shal Shudas and one for Sudas de Rav Chidka, as some people refer to it, as a Shabbos party or whatever it might be. Okay, the Mishnah continues. B'mincha matzilin mazon suda achas, my lav de lo achal. Isn't that where he didn't eat Shal Shudas yet? Lo de achal, no, it's where he already had all three meals, Friday night, Shabbos day, he had Shal Shudas, and he's still allowed to save one more meal for his special Shabbos party in accordance with Rav Chidka. So you could read the Mishnah that way. Wait, hold on. But from the fact that the Seifa says Rabbi Yossi Omer li olam atzil mazon gimel seudos, right? But Rabbi Yossi, right? Remember that was the Tanakh. Rabbi Yossi says no, you can actually collect three seudos no matter what time it is. Michlal, this implies the Tanakh gimel sfirale, right? We should only assume that there's one machlokas between the Tanakh and Rabbi Yossi. And if their machlokas is just based on overall, the timing, right? Is it the same number of meals? Is it three throughout Shabbos? Or is it three only depending on what time it is? So they're not arguing about how many meals, and therefore clearly Rabbi Yossi holds like the Rabbanan, not like Rav Chidka. There's only three meals for Shabbos, and therefore it's logical to say that the Tanakhama as well. Ela mechavarta masnisa and delo k'Rabbi Chidka. Rather, it seems that the Mishnah is more clear. It's not like Rabbi Chidka. Rather, it is like three meals, as indeed we hold the halacha that we only have Shal Shudas. I believe there are some people I've heard from my Rabbi Rav Shalom Rosner. That's it. And I guess maybe in Eretz Yisrael some people do it where they have like a Shabbos party and they'll say this is a Suda de Rav Chidka, right? It's like a fourth meal on Shabbos. So, I wonder if that's appropriate to do that. Yeah, it's about Tosef, if it's, maybe, I don't know. Probably not, but, interesting discussion. Okay, Vahod it's not, but we learned in another Mishnah. This is also going to try to weigh in to see if we see another Mishnah that can be attributed to only the Rabban and Rav Chidka. Which one? So this is a Mishnah in Peah. It's not where we learn Mishiyesh Lamazon Shtei Seudos Lo Yitom Min Atam Chui. Somebody who has food for two meals, he's not allowed to take from the tamchoi. The tamchoi is like a soup kitchen, right? Like a tomche Shabbos. That's a term we're familiar with. And Rashi just elaborates over here and Mefarshim and Peah as well. Tamchoi. Ka'ara gedolahi, it was like a big platter. And v'govin bagabayim maichol b'bale batim u'machalkin l'niim be'isudas l'yom yom l'yom. That basically they would provide two meals on a daily basis. Right, they would collect. They have a big platter collecting food from people who couldn't afford to give tzedakah, and then aniim were allowed to come. They were entitled to collect two meals, and if they had two meals for that day anyway, it was actually forbidden for them to collect from this. It would be actually considered stealing from other aniim. Who, right, meaning to be eligible for the tamchoi, you need to have fewer than two meals, right? This is also related to the idea of matanas levyonim, right? And what's defined as an evyon, and what is considered a matana? It's two meals worth. So this is related. Mazon arba asrei lo yitom min akupa. And if somebody has 14 meals worth of food, right, in his pantry, for the week, so he can't take from the kupa. Kupa is a box. There's also a kupata ear in Eretz Yisrael. That's a presumably very well supported by Gedolim, charity. And this one they would give out on a weekly basis. Rashi says, Shahar Yachul Lahemtin Erev Shabbos Haba, people who could wait. And they would give them out. And I guess there are some, people who didn't want to live from day to day, wanted to get things in advance. So you're allowed to take from even if you had 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, even 12 and perhaps even 13 meals in your pantry. But if you didn't have 14, you were entitled to take from this kupa. So this is what we said. Now take a look at the number. Mani, who is this mission in accordance with? Lo Rabbanan v'lo Rabbi Chidka. it doesn't seem like it fits with the Rabbanan or Chukka. I Rabbanan, Chamseri Havyan. Right? If it was the Rabbanan, then you should be entitled to 5 meals. I'm sorry, 15 meals. Right? Because, we're assuming that there are 2 meals a day, and then on Shabbos, there's 3 meals that day, right? Special for Shabbos, special Shabbos treat, you have 3 meals. So that would total at 15. Right? I guess it's not a question from the Tamchoy so much, because the Tamchoy, let's assume that the Tamchoy is, when it says 2 meals a day, it's referring to Sunday through Friday. But over here, if we're talking about a full week, what's a full week's worth of meals? So if the halacha is that you should have 3 meals on Shabbos, a full week's worth of meals is 15, not 14, at least according to the Rabbanan. And Irabi Chidko, she's sorry, Havyon. And if you're supposed to have 4 meals on Shabbos, so 4 meals for Shabbos plus the 12 for the rest for Sunday through Friday would total at 16. And therefore, both of these opinions, the Mishnah doesn't seem to be in accordance with both these opinions. So Gemara responds: Liolam Rabbanan Damrinan Le Madabayis Lemechal Bafuke Dafuke Shabsa Achle Beshabsa. No, really, it's in accordance with the Rabbanan. And so, what's the logic of only having 14 meals? That they would say to him, Danrinale, that we say to the guy, what you plan on eating when Shabbos goes out, meaning your Saturday night meal, right? You have 14 meals. You're going to eat 2 of them on Sunday, 2 on Monday, 2 on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And on Saturday as well, you're going to eat 2. And normally you eat 1 in the morning and 1 in the evening after it already gets dark. So for that Saturday night meal, right, for the Matzai Shabbos meal, ma deba isa lamechol, sorry, I skipped a couple lines because we have a similar phraseology, deba isa lamechol ba'afuki shabsa, what you're planning to do that, achle b'shabsa, eat it a little bit earlier. Don't eat your dinner, after it gets dark, eat it a little bit before. Eat it just before Shkia, and that'll count as your Shal Shudis. And therefore, you can still have 14 meals while eating 3 meals on Shabbos. And you're not going to be hungry, no problem. The Gemara says, Lema l'Rabbanan hi v'lo Rabbi Chidka. So now, okay, yeah, we explained it very nicely. That fits within Rabbanan and Rabbi Chidka. Should we say that? No, so the Gemara says, no. Afilo tema Rabbi Chidka. You can even work out Rabbi Chidka. Damrin and lay, ma deba isa lamecha b'ma'ale shabsa, achle li orsa. So we can say to him, you know what you're planning on eating on Friday morning, so just wait. And eat that on Shabbos. So, meaning you're going to have, right, so you have your Friday meal. So instead of eating, right, normally you'd eat one thing Friday morning, one Friday night. So don't eat Friday morning, and then eat, I guess, one Friday night, and then you have 3 meals worth to eat on Shabbos. So, according to Rabbi Chidka, it works as well. The Gemara says, "Are you kidding? We're gonna. You're saying that according to Rabbi Chidka, you're supposed to spend the entire Friday sitting in a fast. Is that really expected? Now, the problem, right? Rashi just says, "Bitmiel." It's like a question. I don't know if it's just that. It's like what kind of expectation is that. I'm surprised that the Gemara doesn't mention, or Rashi doesn't mention, that in general we know that we have a practice that we try not to fast Erev Shabbos. We try to avoid that. The Mamodos discussed in Maseches Tanis, they would fast Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. In general, we try not to have fast days on Friday. If we can avoid it, we try to do it on Thursday. Right? We have an exception by like a Sar B'Teves. But we try not to fast on Friday. So, but the Gemara doesn't mention that. Rashi doesn't mention that, which is interesting. It sounds like it's just, are you kidding? Is that really expected? But the Gemara suggests it's Elohomani. Rather, who is this in accordance with? Or whom is this in accordance with? Rabbi Akiva. It's actually in accordance with Rabbi Akiva. De Amar, Aseith Shabbatcha Chol. The altit starch librios. Make your Shabbos chol dik, weekday dik, so that rather than titstarach librios, that and be dependent on other people, right? Meaning don't say, you know, I need a lavish Shabbos meal, I can't afford it, so I'm going to go around and say, I really need to, you know, I need $7 for my first course of the fish. I need to get that herring, you know, with the costs $7 for a few pieces of fish with lots of onions and cream and things like that. Don't do that. Your Shabbos should look more like a weekday if you can't afford to make it any better. Now, this is not talking to the ones who are providing necessarily. This is the one talking to what a person should do. But that's Rabbi Akiva's standard. So now this Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Akiva, and therefore what it would seem to be is that it doesn't necessarily prove Rav Chivka or Rabbanan, rather there's three or four meals. It's saying basically, we're not talking about providing Shabbos needs, which is interesting. We're not talking about mitzvah needs. We're talking about baseline, what a person needs to exist, for food. We're not putting the responsibility of kavod Shabbos on other people, which is very interesting. They see in the side it's quoted in Gemara and Psachim, and it looks like an Arve Psachim, and we know that sometimes we do have an obligation to help other people, get what they need. For example, dalad kosos and malos chitim. We also know kimcha de pischa, providing a matzah for people, and of course tamche Shabbos really goes above and beyond tamche Shabbos and chickens for Shabbos and other organizations that really try to give the most beautiful Shabbistic experience. And I think it's a tremendous limud zchus for klal yisrael that we do such a thing. But Rabbi Akiva's baseline is that a person should not benefit. Should not depend on other people and be a parasite for these milos of kavod Shabbos, which is very interesting. But now the Gemara says, let's take a look if we can match anything up with Rav Chivka. But this is what we learned in the Mishnah. This is the Mishnah in Peyo. Ein pochasin la'ani ha'over mimakom l'makom. If you have an ani who's traveling from makom to makom, he's traveling, he's here now, he's not going to be here tomorrow, or even tonight. So ein pochasin, you can't give him less mikikar bepundion midalid sein besela. You can't give him less than a kikar that's worth a pundion when for a sela you can get four seya of flour, which would seem to be, Rashi explains over here, basically it comes down to two meals, kikar zu l'shtei sudos, like one kikar, one loaf of bread, for two sudos, hayom v'layla. So, Rina, you have to give him two sudos worth of food. Lun, if he's going to spend the night there, nostin lo parnassas lina. You have to give him the parnassa necessary for sleeping. We'll explain what that means, because it's going to be hard to say, because we're already giving him that night's food. V'im Shabbos, so here's the interesting, if it's Shabbos, nostin lo mazum gimel sudos, you have to give him three sudos worth. So, leimal rabbanon hi, let's say this is rabbanon, right? Why is it that, why are we only giving him three, right? The Mishnah makes a differentiation. If it's Shabbos, then you give him three meals worth. Sounds like it's Rabbanan. Velo Reb Chivka. Now, Li'olam says the Gemara, really, Reb Chivka? You can even say it's Reb Chivka. Kigon de'ika su'da b'hadeh. He had one meal's worth of provisions with him. So we only have to give him three more. Perhaps if he didn't have anything with him, maybe the Mishnah would say you have to give him four. Could be. Maybe that's one how we're interpreting it. But the assumption is that someone has at least one meal's worth of food with him. D'amrinanle, that we say to him, ha de'ika b'hadach achle. We say, that food, that which you have with you already, eat that, and that's going to be your fourth meal, and you can call it according to Rav Chivka. V'chi azel b'reikan. Right, but now if he doesn't have that food, so we're going to send him off empty-handed, when he wants to leave, he's going to go without any food because he ate it now, because we told him to eat it now because we didn't provide him his fourth meal. We give him another seuda. We give him another suda to escort him when he's ready to leave, Bahadei. So that's not the problem. Meaning, when it's Sunday morning and it's time for him to leave, so then we're going to give him another meal to provide it. But at this time, we're going to only provide him three because he already has one that he was planning on using Sunday morning and now he can eat on his own. I didn't mention it. There's a Rashi earlier that's just worth mentioning that's going to quote a Gemara from later on, Achle Bashabsa, where he mentions the idea of Mlava Malka, that right, the person should always have Mlava Malka, but he says, Hani Mili Laman De Efsharle, this is also, it's where somebody has food available, but it's not something that you borrow from, you get from tzedakah for our Malava Malka, which is also a point that we'll discuss later on. Okay, now the Gemara asks, just before the two dots, my parnassas lina, what does it mean, the parnassa of his lina, right? He's sleeping over the parnassa. We already provided the food. Amar of Papa, puria ube sadia. We have to provide for him a bed and a besadia, a pillow. That's his parnassas lina. So we gave him food, and if he's staying overnight, you also have to provide that for him. You don't have to necessarily pay for him to stay at, the Hilton, but at least to provide him a bed, and a pillow. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, ka'aros sh'achol bahen arvis madichin le'achol bahen shachris. Shachris madichin, this is, if we're the discussion about, alluding to, three meals on Shabbos, and we're gonna have this, a little bit more of this discussion, of the benefits of having three meals on Shabbos, and this is also similar to the, you know, the saving meal by meal according to the Tanakhama with the fire. So we have ka'aro she'achol b'hen arvis. So if you used plates, you used dishes for your Friday night meal, madichin le'achol b'hen shakris. You're allowed to wash them Friday night or Shabbos morning in order to use them again for shakris. It's not considered hachana for after Shabbos. Shachris, madichin lechol behen betzarayim. So after shachris, you're allowed to eat. Right after you came home from shul, you had kiddush and the suda, so you're allowed to wash them for the next. But betzarayim, madichin lechol behen b'mincha. And in the afternoon, after you have your third meal, you're allowed to do it again for mincha. Mina mincha ve'elech shuv eino madiach. And for mincha nan, you're not allowed to wash it anymore because, you know, clearly you don't have a use for it. It's interesting because this seems to be going according to Rabbi Chidcha, because it looks like there's four meals over here. But anyway, after four meals, you don't need to wash your plates anymore. You had Friday night dinner, Shabbos lunch, Shabbos party, and you don't need your dishes anymore. Therefore, you're not allowed to wash it because it's clear that you're doing it for post Shabbos. But for things like cups or like pitchers or flasks, those are something that you can wash the entire day because you can always use a drink. So lefisha ain kevel l'shtia, because there's no kvias for shtia there, right? It's not like I have a set time to drink. I drink four times a day. No, you drink when I drink. So therefore, you can wash those out forever throughout the entire Shabbos. But plates, there's a time limit after mincha point, late in the day where you're not having another meal, then you wouldn't be able to do that. This is halacha ma'isa, like for shal shudis, right? After your shal shudis, if it's already dark, you're not having any more meals. So to wash the dishes then is definitely a problem, and even to clean up from shal shudis is a problem. There's a question, maybe, if people are still going to be there, and it's maybe not kovedik to have a big mess out. So there's maybe some sort of cleaning you do. Perhaps cleaning up perishables, putting perishables back into the fridge or freezer, that might be okay. But to just stam clean up and wash dishes after shalosh shudas when it's already dark is actually a problem of hachana. Now let's do some agadata about shal shudas. Amar Rav Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Mishum bar Kapara, kol ha-makayim shlosh sudas b'shabbos, nitzol mishlosh pranios. Somebody who is makayim to have three sudos on Shabbos, which is a halacha, it's a halacha, beferish, and it's in Gemara, it's beferish in the Shulchan Aruch. Not only that, even there's a... I think it's Simon Reish Sadi Vav, if not Reish Sadi Aleph, Simon Sif Vav, that even Noshim Chayvos Besudah Shlishis, that men and women are absolutely fully obligated to have three meals. If it's going to cause them pain, that's the first Sif speaks about that. If it's going to cause them actual pain to eat it, then they don't have to eat it. But really, it's a real halacha. But there's also a beautiful benefit from it as well. That anybody who's mekayim the shlosh sudos, so they're saved from three peranios, three types of bad things. One is mechevle shal mashiach, chevle shal mashiach, right? The birth pangs of mashiach, the suffering that is experienced in the times of mashiach, with the coming of Mashiach, umedina shel gehenim, and from the din, for the judgment of gehenim, umechamos gog umagog, and from the war of gog umagog. The order is interesting over here. I wonder why that is. I would imagine that the war of Gog and his nation, King Gog and his nation Magog, is around the time of Chevle Mashiach and well in advance of the din of gehenim. So I don't know why the order is like this. We're about to source it in Psukim, and I don't think that's necessarily going to explain the order either, so something to think about. But it says, Ksiv Hacha, so Mechav L'Mashal Mashiach, why? How do you get that? Ksiv Hacha Yom, right? It says by Shal Shudas, Yom. V'Ksiv Hasam, Hinei Nochi Shaleach Lachem Es Eliyahu HaNavi, Lefnei Bo Yom V'Gomer, right? So this is a Pasuk, this is actually the penultimate Pasuk in all of Nevi'im, it's in Malachi, and he refers to the Chevle Mashiach as a Yom, the Yom Gadol V'Nora, as we say in Shabbos HaGadol HaTorah. So Yom, we have a Yom mentioned over there, and also Medina Shel Gehenim K'siv Hacha Yom, because it says B'Shal Shudas Yom V'K'siv Hasam, it says in Tzfanya Yom Evra HaYom HaHu, that there's a Yom Evra, day of wrath, and that's the day, so that's also a mention of a day. And then Mechamas Gog Umagog, Ksiv Hacha, those two first psukim are from Malachi, and this one's from Tzfanya, that says Gog Umagog, Hacha Yom, Viksiv Hasam, no, sorry, First one was Malachi, then Svanya, and this one is Yechezkel. The Ksivhasam b'yom b'gog, and the day that Gog will come. So we have all three of these events. These perennials are referred to as a yom, and we know there are three yoms by Shal Shudas. So therefore, if you have these three sudas of Shabbos, you will be spared from these three perennials. Am Rabbi Yochanan Mishnah Rabbi Yosi Kol Hamanegas Shabbos Nosin Lo Nachla B'li Mitzarim. So that, and anybody who ma'anegas Shabbos, anybody who delights in Shabbos, is oneg Shabbos, so he's given a nachala b'limitzarim. He's giving him a portion that doesn't have any boundaries. And this is, and we're going to quote a pasuk to source this, but we're going to see on this daf a lot of things that refers to Shabbos and Yiras, if you know from Ma'ididus. Nachalas Yaakov Yiras b'limitzarim nachala. There's the nachalas Yaakov, that we get with Beli Mitzarim, without these boundaries. So we're going to see how it connects to Yaakov. You're going to be able to understand this next time you sing that Zemer. Shnemer, as the pasuk says, Oz Tizanagal Hashem, which is a pasuk in Yeshayahu, right? We quoted Yeshayahu, which is really the source of a bunch of inyanim of Shabbos, of Oneg Shabbos, of Kavod Shabbos, of Minso Heftzecha, Daber Davar, Hiluchecha, right? All the things we mentioned on Kufil Gimel. So he says, Oz Tisanag Hashem, and then you will delight in Hashem, which is also a Shabbos Emor, right? Oz Tisanag Hashem, then you're going to delight in Hashem. V'harkavticha b'msei aretz. Right, and you, I will cause you to ride on the high places of the land. V'achalticha, turning the yamato kuf yichaychams amabeis, nachlas Yaakov avicha v'gomer. And I will feed you a nachlas Yaakov, the nachla of Yaakov your father. What's this? So what do you mean the nachla of Yaakov your father? Yaakov, so the Gemara says, lo Avraham, shekasuv bo, it's not the nachla of Avraham, which he said, Hashem said to him, kum hishalich ba'eretz la'arka v'gomer. Go walk the land, it go its length, right? Rashi adds, l'arka and ularachva eretz zu v'lo yoser, right? It's is this the first? So the Gemara cuts it off, but Hashem says, I'm going to give you this land, walk its length and its width, this land. V'lo ki Yitzchak, but that's not as good as Yitzchak. Shekasu bo, because it says to Yitzchak, Hashem says to Yitzchak in Parshas Toldos, right? That was in Parshas Lech Lecha. And this is in Parshas Toldos, ki lecha l'zarecha etein es kol artos ha'el. To you and your offspring, I'm going to give all of these lands. These lands, that's much more than just this land. So Yitzchak had even better than Yaakov, than Avram. Ela ki Yaakov. But however, the promise is to be get to vachaticha nachlas Yaakov. You're going to get a nachal of Yaakov. What's a nachal of Yaakov? Ela ki Yaakov shekasuv bo uforatzda yama v'kedmat v'tzavona v'negba. That you're going to burst forth in all four directions. That and without any limitation, you're going to go east, west, north, south. You're going to go all directions. This is the promise in Parshas Vayetze, right at the beginning. And this is a special nachla of Yaakov, and you get the nachla Yaakov b'li mitzarim if you are ma'aneg Shabbos. It's interesting. Maybe we can connect it to the previous part as well, right? Because we know that the three sudos of Shabbos are din of oneg Shabbos, an aspect of oneg Shabbos. So if you have three meals, then you're properly doing oneg Shabbos, and then you get the nachla of not just Avram, not just Yitzchak, but even Yaakov. You get the nachla of all three levels of nachla. You travel from Avram to Yitzchak to Yaakov, because if you have three meals, perhaps you can suggest that. Okay. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar Nitzo Mishibud Golios. He adds, if you're ma'aneg Shabbos, you're going to be spared from the subjugation of exile. Ksiv hacha, it says over here, v'hirkavticha abam say aretz, you're going to go be carried and made to ride on the high points of the land. V'ksiv hasam, and it says over there, that you're going to trample over their high places, referring to the enemy. So therefore, it's connected to this pasuk in Dvarim. Sefer Dvarim, which tells us that you're going to be able to beat the enemies and not be subjugated by them. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Kol Amane Gets Shabbos Nosin L'Mashas Libo. Right, this is there's a Leif Tahor song. Kol Hamayane, Kol Amane Gets Shabbos. Right, anybody who was Ma'aneg Shabbos Nosin L'Mashas Libo, he's given all the desires of his heart. That's so interesting. Shneamar V'Is Anegal Hashem, because the pasuk says, is this in Yeshayahu or this is actually Tehillim? That you will delight on God, in God, v'yitein lecha mishalos libecha, and it will be given to you the mishalos libecha, the requests of your heart. So oneg ze ini yodeya mahu, I don't know what this oneg that it's referring to is. Kishu omer v'karas l'shabbos oneg, but we have a pasuk in Yeshayahu which says, v'karas l'shabbos oneg, you're going to call Shabbos an oneg, heve omer ze oneg Shabbos. So this teaches me that it's Oneg Shabbos, right? Where I'm told to delight in Hashem. But where else do I know what it means to delight? So where else do I know an instruction to delight in something? Well, that's where Yeshayahu tells me I should call Shabbos a delight. Therefore, I know that when it says delight in God, delight in Hashem, I should do that. And therefore, if I do that, I will be given Mishalos Libi, I'll be given the desires of my heart, right? If you have Oneg Shabbos, you don't stress out about things on Shabbos, then Hashem will hopefully take care of those things and everything that you wish for, as long as you don't, do it and stress over it on Shabbos, Hashem will take care of all your needs. Bema ma'ango, what should you do to be ma'aneg it on Shabbos? Rabbi Yehuda bereder Rav Shmuel bar Shilas mishmei Rav Amar b'tavshil shel tardin v'dagin gedolim v'rashei shumin. What should you have? You should have tavshil, a cooked dish of beets and big fish, and the heads of shumin, of garlic heads, right? So these are, I think the pashup shot in these foods are that these were just chashiv foods at the time. Rashi says exactly that. Chashiv who? These are chashiv. Rashi shumin, he says, chashuvim hayulahen. They were chashiv to them. And therefore, these are things that you should have. It could be some deeper significance. I'll just suggest over here, I'm noticing that Rashi points out that the tavshil of tardin and the Rashi Shuman, Rashi tells us that they're specifically chashiv. By the big fish, he doesn't tell us it's chashiv. So Rashi, it could be that Rashi doesn't comment there because it's just obvious. So I tell you big fish, big anything is good. But perhaps you could say that, the fish inherently, it doesn't matter. Like, the other two are subjective. If a beet soup, if that's not chashiv in your time anymore, then, don't go for it. If garlic heads are not chashiv in your time, then don't. Whatever's chashiv in your time. Fish is always considered chashiv and mesugo for Shabbos. We know that Doug is Gematria 7, it's connected to Shabbos. There's really an need to have fish at every meal on Shabbos, and at the very least a Shal Shudis, because, there's connected to the Levi Yasson. So there is definitely an inyan and discussed at great length in Chassidus and Pnimius HaTorah about fish on Shabbos. So it could be that the Rashi's not commenting on the Dug and Gedolim the way he does on the other two things. It could be that that's a support for this. Okay. Rav Chiya bar Ashi Amar Rav, afilu davar muat, v'lechvod Shabbos aso hari ze oneg. That even if it's a small thing, right? Your means aren't so great, but it could still be something that is considered oneg if you do a special for Kavod Shabbos. Mahi, for example, what? Rav Papa, kasa daharsana. This kasa daharsana, which Rashi says, is dagim ketanim mitugnim b'shemen karvehen u'bekemach. Right? So oil, small fish that are cooked in their own oil, their own oil, and karvehen b'kemach, and bekemach, and you put them in flour also. I don't know, fish sticks, something like that. I don't know. Amar Rav Chiya Baraba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Mashamer Shabbos Kehilchoso, Afilu Oveid Avodah Zarah Kedor Enosh. Anybody who keeps Shabbos, Kehalacha, right? Shmir Shabbos Kehilchoso. Even if you're Oveid Avodah Zarah, like the generation of Enosh, Mochlin lo, he's forgiven for that. That's a powerful statement, right? That even if what's the door Enosh? Rashi points out that Enosh, according to Chazal, is the first, right? Enosh is the grandson of Adam. Adam had a son, Adam's third son, after Cain and Hevel, is Shace. And Shace has a son, Enosh. And in the generation of Enosh, people started doing Avodah Zarah. Rambam speaks about how, originally they're trying to worship Hashem through Hashem's creation, sun, moon, etc., and it turned into Avodah Zarah. So you're forgiven for it. Shinemar, as the pasuk says, Ashrei Enosh Yaseh Zos V'Gomer Michalalo. Praiseworthy is Enosh who does this from being mechalal it. Al tikra mechalalo ela mochol lo. Right? This is Shomer Shabbos Kados mechalalo, as we have in Kol Mekadesh Shvi, in Baruch Kel Elyon, right? Shomer Shabbos Kados mechalalo. If you keep Shabbos Kados, in accordance with the law, mechalalo, from being mechalal it. So it's a reference to this mochlin lo, that you'll be forgiven for these, for Avodah Zarah. So now one level of this, first of all, is that Shabbos and Avodah Zarah, something they have in common is that both of them are compared to the entire Torah. We have different sources in Chazal that say someone who keeps Shabbos is as if he kept the entire Torah. It's equal to the whole Torah, and In contrast, Avodah Zarah, someone who worships Avodah Zarah, it's as if he violated the entire Torah. So these are so fundamental, so it could be that Shabbos can atone for Avodah Zarah. Now you might ask, what's the significance of the Dor Enosh? Even if you did Avodah Zarah like Dor Enosh. So is that a statement of strength? That, like, even if you're the first generation of Avodah Zarah, what a terrible thing. Even if the worst possible type of Avodah Zarah, even then you're forgiven. Or perhaps it's a smaller level of Avodah Zarah. It's Avodah Zarah light, because really they were, like Rambam explains, they were trying to do, serve Hashem. So that's an interesting question. I think you can look into what is keeping Shabbos. Does that overpower? You're forgiven for all of Avodah Zarah, or only low level of Avodah Zarah, worth discussing. Okay, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Ilmalei Shamri Yisrael Shabbos Rishona Lo Shalta Bahen Uma VeLashon. Had Klal Yisrael just kept the first Shabbos, there would be no nation or Lashon or Uma VeLashon. There'd be no other people that would be able to rule over us. Shneamar, as the pasuk says, Vayhi Bayom Hashvi Yatzu Min Ha'am Lilkot V'Ksiv Basrei V'Yavo Amalek. That it said on the seventh day they went out from the nation to collect the mun, right? Because I'll say it was Dustin and Aviram, that they went out to collect. Moshe told them, don't go out, there's not going to be mun, and they did it anyway. And so whether they went outside of the Tchum, or they had Kalim, and they were doing Hotzah on Shabbos, trying to collect mun, but they violated the first Shabbos. And had they not done that, we never would have, no one would have started up with us, as the Pasuk, because right after that, it's written, Ve'evol Amalek, this is in the Parshas Beshalach. Right, this is Tessayan and Parak Yud Zayin already. Amalek attacks. And Chazal say that, we'll see it over here. I guess the question is, so just because Amalek attacks, why does that mean that everyone will, no other nation will rule? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishim Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Imali Misham and Yisrael. I don't think the Gemara addresses it over here. So I think the answer is that Chazal tell us that what Amalek did was that they interfered, and they everyone was really nervous, right? We know the famous mashal of a person, a large person going into the hot bath, and he gets burnt himself, but he cooled off for everybody else. So Yisrael, Klal Yisrael were on fire. Nobody wanted to mess with them. Once Amalek messed with them, showed the world that Klal Yisrael is not completely invincible. So then everyone else was able to rule over at them at some point, and it's all because of that first chink in the armor of not keeping Shabbos. And it happens to be the Midrash Tanhuma speaks about it. This is part of my theme for Purim this year, of the connection between Shabbos and Amalek, and that they're really the antithesis of each other. The Midrash Tanhuma says explicitly, Zachor is Yom HaShabbos L'Kodesho, and Zachor is the Sheres HaLecha Amalek. This is Zachor. So there's a lot to discuss there. Maybe we can talk about it next Purim. Anyway, back to the Gemara. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Mishim Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, V'imolim Misham in Yisrael, Shtei Shabbosos Kehil Chason, Miad Nigalim. If we would only keep two Shabbosos, in accordance with the Halacha, we would be redeemed immediately. Shneamar, as the pasuk says, Ko Amar Hashem L'Sarisim Asher Yishim. Shemru es Shabsosai. It's a pasuk in Yeshayahu who says that we should keep. They shall keep my Shabbosos in plural. So you have to keep Shabbosos. Minimum of plural is two. You have to keep two Shabbosos. And what the Ksibasay says right after that, Vahaviosim el Harkadshi. Then I will bring them to the mountain of my holiness and rebuild the base of Mikdash, and everything will be good. So if you keep two Shabbosos, we'll be redeemed. Interesting, because this is in direct opposition to, I think it's Mordechai ben David, just one Shabbos and we'll all be free. So a lot of smears, a lot of songs in this staff. Just one Shabbos, what do you mean just one Shabbos? It's just two Shabbos. So actually there's another Maamar Chazal that says one Shabbos. And a lot of people try to explain this. A lot of the Rebbes have different approaches. Nesiva Shalom says that there's two specific Shabbosos, not to get into the Rikos now, but two different Shabbosos. One of them is Shabbos Hagadol and one is Shabbos Shuva. Those are the two Shabbosos you need to keep in order for free. I believe it's the Kedushas Levi who says that it's really the same. Oh, and he explains it that those two Shabbosos are really two halves of one Shabbos, but that's a much longer discussion. If you reach out to me privately, I can give you the source of that. I think it's the Kedushas Levi that says that two Shabbosos and one Shabbos is really the same, because a Shabbos properly kept leads to the next week, and it just builds off each other, right? A Shabbos is, the whole week is powered by a Shabbos and builds up to a Shabbos. So in order to keep one Shabbos properly, it's actually really two Shabbosos. So it's really just two different ways to phrase it. It's keeping two Shabbosos, that's really keeping one Shabbos, it's also keeping two Shabbosos, so that's a way to resolve the contradiction as well. Okay, back to the Gemara. So we're going to see a lot of discussion of Rabbi Yossi about different good things that he wishes he would do, or people he wants to be counted among for the good practice that they do. And then we're going to see some things that he does that he says is very good that he does. A lot of interesting practices. And so let's take a look. So he says that Yehi Chalki Mai Chelik should be among the Me Ochlish Shalosh Sudos B'Shabbos. The people who are very makbet have three Sudos on Shabbos. Let my Chelik be among them. I want to be counted. I want that to be my Chevron. I want to be rewarded among them because it's such a great thing that they do. Seems that people weren't necessarily so careful about having all three meals. Amar Rabbi Yossi, it could be people were violating the halach, or it could be people were just, you know, overdoing it in their Shabbos day meal, and they say, okay, listen, I'm putter from the third meal. But people who are careful about it, as the Shulchan Aruch says regarding this very halacha, chacham einav rosho, someone who thinks about it in advance. If he has three pieces of cake for dessert with Shabbos lunch, he's not going to have room for Shal Shudas. So maybe we have two pieces, one piece, zero pieces, chas v'shalom, right? But be careful. Try to be available for Shal Shudas. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yossi, and now we're going to leave the Shabbos discussion for a little bit. Amar Rabbi Yossi, hey, chelki mi gomrei halel b'chol yom. Count me among the people who say halal every day. Any is that true? V'hamar mar, but the master said, we've discussed in other places, ha-korei halal b'chol yom, harizeh mecharef u'megadef. Somebody who says halal every single day, it's like blasphemy and scorn and blasphemy. It's an inappropriate thing. It's making light of halal, perhaps maybe making light of the way Hashem conducts himself in this world. So what do you mean? He wants to be counted among people who finish halal every day, say full halal every day. Ki kamrina p'suki d'zimra. No, no, no. What he meant, he was talking about p'suki d'zimra. We're saying the Pesukim of Zimra with all its Hallels and the Hallelukas. That's what he meant by Hallel. It doesn't mean the Hallel that we said the other day on Shavuos. Amar Rav Yossi, hey chelki mimis palalim imdim dumei chama. Let my chelik be among those who daven with the redness of the sun, and we spoke about that. And Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, mitzvah lespal imdim dumei chama. It's a mitzvah to daven with the redness of the sun. We discussed this when we learned Maseches Brachos back on Daf Chof Tes Amud Beis, if you remember. And we said, so that's a mitzvah of Vasikin, and perhaps also davening right at sunset. We mentioned that was actually looked down upon because then people would come to miss it. So Vasikin is much safer than davening right with sunset. Amr of Zera, my Kara, what's the pasuk? Yerucha im Hashemesh levnei yareach dor darim. That you should fear Hashem along with the sun in the morning and before the moon for generations. Amr of Yossi, Rabbi Yossi said another thing. Yehi chelki me... Let my portion be among those who die of intestinal illness, which is very interesting, right? To Amar Mar, because the master said, Ruban shel tzadikim meisim b'chol hamayim. The majority of tzadikim die because of this intestinal disease, intestinal illness. So even though it's probably a very unpleasant thing, but Rashi says that this mismarkin avanosan, that this kind of thing empties out someone's sins. So it's a painful way to die, but you achieve full kapara, and he wants to be among them. He says, I also want to be among those who die in the derech mitzvah, people who are going to do a mitzvah, right? We know people who are just, unfortunately, it's still so fresh, despite all the challenges in Eretz Yisrael right now with all the rockets, but even before that, in Meiron and even in Erev Shavuos, and people trying to achieve Dveikus Bashem, Derech Mitzvah, you can maybe call it the Derech Mitzvah. So he wants to be among those. To die in the middle of a mitzvah is a chashuv thing. Hashem should grant us a long life and Klal Yisrael a long life. But it's a chashuv thing when it's a person's time to go to be involved in the mitzvah at the time. V'amar Rabbi Yossi, hey chalki mimachnisei Shabbos b'tiveria u'mimitzoi Shabbos b'tzipori. And I want my chelik to be among those who bring in Shabbos in Tiveria and who bring it out in Tzipori. And Rashi explains over here that that Tiveria was amuka. It was like deep, and it got darker when it was still day, and Tzipori vice versa. And so what people would do, right? So basically people who would take in Shabbos early and leave Shabbos late, right? Machrim mitzvah on Shabbos and maharim lavo, as we say in Kol Mekadesh Shvi. Some people that they delay Shabbos leaving and they take in Shabbos early. So if you do this like Tzipori Tiveria situation, that's they would be extra careful. So that's a praiseworthy thing. So let me chalek be among those who are sitting in the base medrash and not those who are standing in the base medrash. Okay, so it seems that from Rashi over here that the people who make people sit. Rashi says Chazan me'asvei talmidim b'chol yom levo, that the person who tries to gather in the students and brings them into the shir sedara whatever ma'mide is mamunim le'es ocha lomar hegia es lama v'lecho, meaning the lunch bell, right? You had some people who are the lunch bell people that they would announce, okay, everybody, seder's over, time to go to lunch. And you have some people who would say, guys, it's time for seder, let's get to seder, get to shir. So he'd rather be part of the people who are the crew that bring people to learn, not people who tell people tell everyone it's lunchtime and send them away. You'd rather be part of that crew. Make me one of the collectors of tzedakah and not one of the ones who are giving out tzedakah. Right? It's much easier to collect than to properly divvy out the money, and you don't want to do the wrong thing and offend people and misjudge a situation, so it's much easier to be able to gabay tzedakah than the mechalke tzedakah. Remember, Rabbi Yossi, hey, chalki mimi shechoshtan, choshtin oso ve'einbo. And this is interesting. Let my chalik be among those who are suspected of things, but actually are not guilty of anything. So it's interesting that he wants to be suspected. Not sure exactly why that would be beneficial, but I guess that he achieves a kapara through being suspected, but of course if he didn't do anything, then he doesn't get punished for whatever he's suspected of, meaning he's suspected of doing a certain avera. So first of all, people think, you know, lowly of him, and there, and he achieves a kapara that way, and he can maintain his tzinias, and he doesn't get any kavod for being a big tzaddik, but he doesn't get punished for the aver because he didn't actually do it, so it could be that's why. Amar Papa lididi choshtan velohava, I was actually suspected of something, and I didn't do anything wrong. I don't know if he's saying it's a good velohava be, sorry, and there wasn't anything in me. I didn't actually do anything wrong. I had a couple of possible pshatim of what he might have been accused of. Quoted in some of the version, but and I don't know if he's saying it's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm not sure if he's supporting Rabbi Yossi or not. Amar Rabbi Yossi, chamesh be'ilos ba'alti v'natati chamisha arozim b'Yisrael. I had five be'ilos, right? Five relations with the woman, and I planted five cedar trees in Yisrael. I'm referring to his very important, right, Arze Levonaron, right, as we say, regarding the great Talmidei Chachamim. So, Uman Inun, who are they? Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chafta, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Avtilas, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Nachum, Rabbi Yossi, right? So, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yossi, we see all the time. Rabbi Chafta, Rabbi Yossi, we see a nice amount. Rabbi Avtilas and Rabbi Nachum, I can't put my finger on where, but it could be we see them as well. Then the Gemara says, Vahika Vardimas, but we also see there's a Vardimas for Rabbi Yossi. What about him? Hainu Vardimas, Hainu Menachem. No, Menachem is Vardimas. But my Karele Vardimas, why do they call him Vardimas? It's not such a pleasant sounding name. Shepanav Domen Levered, because his face looked like a rosy face, and therefore he was called Vardimas, but it's actually the same one. So now, hold on, wait. Lameimer de Rabbi Yossi mitzvah so na lo kim. Does that mean that Rabbi Yossi didn't fulfill the mitzvah of ona? Right? It says he had five be'ilos, so he married his wife for who knows how many years, and he was only with her five times. He didn't fulfill the mitzvah of ona, his obligation to his wife? No. Ela ema chamesh be'ilos ba'alti v'shenisi. No, no. What he meant is that there are five times where ba'alti v'shenisi. I was with my wife, and then I repeated. I was with again, which Rashi says, quoting Gemara in Erevin, is some sort of mila, and he did it. So there were five times that he was with his wife, and then was with her again. And each of those times, it produced a great Talmud Chacham son. Amar Rav Yossi, miyamai lo karisi leishti ishti v'lo shori. I never call my wife that my wife. I never call my ox. Ella leishti besi leshori sadi. I always call my wife my home. And I always call my shore my field, right? And I don't know what the mila is. Rashi says that it's the ikar of bias, and the shore is the ikar of the field. And he says that lo karisi is that sha'af sicha schulin shili yishlomo himena chachma. That I mean, he what he's trying to say is that I'm teaching lessons. Right? It's not like a tzinius thing, I don't think. It's that, like, I teach, whenever I talk, I teach lessons. So when I say wife, so I don't say wife, I say house, because I want people to realize that the wife is the mainstay of the home. The ox is the mainstay of the field. Okay. Amar Rav Yossi, miyamai lo nistakalti b'mila shali. In my life, I never, like, gazed at my makom hamila. Is this true that Rav Yossi was knowing this practice? V'amru le Rebbe, My time of Karulach Rabbeinu Kadosh, but wasn't it stated that they said to Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, why do they call you Rabbeinu HaKadosh? Imagine, they say, Rebbe, what, Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, why do they call you Rabbeinu HaKadosh, our holy rabbi? Amar Lui said to them, Yemai lo niskalti b'mila shali. Because he said, I never looked at my Mila. So if that's so, then we should also call Rabbi Yossi Rabbeinu HaKadosh. So, Berebi Milsa Acharisi Havabei. No, no. So really, there was a different thing also, I guess, also, or instead, I'm not sure about Reb, I don't know. Probably in addition that got him that title of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, right? What is it? Shelo hichnis yado tachnas avneto. He never put his hands below his belt. His right, never went below there. Mina avneto lamata, says Rashi. So that's like this extra level of kedusha, that his hands never went below his belt. I can't imagine it's fully literal. I mean, when he had to, you know, clean himself to go to the bathroom or tie his shoes or whatever. I mean, he was wealthy and he did have servants, but I wonder the exact parameters of this hanhaga. Rabbi Yossi, Mi'amai lo ro koros besi imre chluki. He says, in my days, the beams of my house, right? The beams of my house, never saw the hems of my cloak, my chaluk. So, right, meaning he undressed in a very tsunua way, under the covers or something like that, or did part by part, something like that. But he was extra tsunua. Of Amar Biosi Me'amai Lo Avarti Al Divrei Chaverai. This is a very interesting one. He says, in my life, I never transgressed the words of my chaverai, my friends, my colleagues. I never went to them. Yodeani ba'atzmi, he gives an example. Yodeani ba'atzmi she'eni kohen. I know that I'm not a kohen. Im omrim li chaverai ola leduchan. If my friends tell me to go up to the duchan, ani ola, I go up, even though I know I'm not a kohen, which is very strange. Tosfos over here says ilo hoya omrim li chaverai. Right, he says lo yodari. The re didn't know ma isur yesh bizarro ola duchan. If is there a problem with going up to the duchan? Why would he do this? Maybe there's not a problem except the bracha levatala. Right, this week's parsha is actually berachas kohanim. So over here the parsha and Amud Chazara line up. Mishum bracha levatala shel kohanim amra Torah levarachas Yisrael. This week's parsha also tells us that you're supposed to bless Klal Yisrael. A kohanim is supposed to bless Klal Yisrael, and it's not appropriate for a Rabbi Yossi, who's not a kohen, to do that. But he would still go up to the duchan. I don't know if he would actually do berachas kohanim if they would have told him, and I don't know why it's such a mila in the first place. Puzzling to me. Let me know if you have any pshatim. Rabbi Yossi, Mi'amai lo amarti davar v'chazarti l'achorai, and he says, in my days, I never said something and then went back. And then went back on it. Rashi explains, "Shimba misha amarti alav davar." That if I mean, I never said something about somebody else that I had to retract. The shal and amarti came, and then he would ask me, "Hey, I heard you said this about me. Did you say this?" Alav lo chazarti bi lamor eno kedvarav. I didn't retract. Say, "Oh no, I didn't say it about you." He said, "Yeah, I absolutely do say it." The v'fiyish metchila emes amarti. He would say, "No, I did indeed say it because it's true." Because savar and Rabbi Yossi holds kol milsa de Miss Amra Bape Mara Lace Ba Mishum Lishna Bishna. Very interesting. He says, anything that you're willing to say to somebody's face is not Lishna Bishna, meaning not Lashon Hara. V'chein Mefarsh Mesechas Erechin. And that's how it's explained in Mesechas Erechin. The Chavetz Chaim does not hold like this, the halacha. He says, no, even if you would say it, right? Some people say it, like, oh yeah, it's not Lashon Hara, I would say it to his face. So that's not baseless. That's the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. However, the Chavetz Chaim says, we certainly don't hold like that. But Rabbi Yossi says that it's a great mila, that I'm very, very honest, I'm not two-faced. If I say something behind somebody's back, I will not take it back. Meaning I will not retract and say, oh, I didn't say it. I will be honest and say, no, I said it and I meant it. Okay, and so that's Rabbi Yossi. Now we're going to see some other milas of Tamidim of Rav, different things that they did. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, Tesi li, it should be given to me. I mean, I should be rewarded for a good practice I have. De kayam is gimel sudos b'shabbos. As we started the Rabbi Yossi discussion, so we started over here. Rabbi Nachman says, I'm very, very careful about three sudos on Shabbos. I'm very careful about three sudos on Shabbos. I should be rewarded for it. Amar Rav Yehuda, Tesi li, de kayam is iun tvila. It says, I should be rewarded because I I am a kayim iu and tefila. Tosfos over here notes that there's different types of iu and tefila. We learned in Maseches Brachos Daf Nun Hey, there's a bad type of iu and tefila, looking into tefila. So we explain over there that's looking expectantly, awaiting, you know, hoping that you're expecting your tefilas to be answered right away or whatever it is. But looking into tefila, we know that iu and tefila is one of the ma'alos mentioned that we say every day after Birchas Torah, right? Iu and tefila, hava shalom edom lechvero. Iu and tefila is an important thing. So paying attention to your tefila, looking into what tefila means. We're talking about a good type of iu and tefila. Amar Rav Huna, Bereder of Yeshua, Tesi li delo sagina, Dalad Amos, Begilui Harosh. I don't walk for Amos with an uncovered head, right? He always wore a kippah or something, a hat, a turban, something to cover his head. Amar Rav Sheshes, Tesi li dekayamis mitzvah tefillin. He says, I'm as mekayam the mitzvah tefillin. Was that such a big deal? Rashi says, Shelo halach arba Amos below tefillin. V'chin le'in yitzitzis. We're about to see the tzitzis point. He said, I never walked four Amos without tefillin. I always had tefillin on, presumably not on Shabbos. Amar Rav Nachman, Tesi li dekayamis mitzvah tzitzis. That I was mekayam the mitzvah tzitzis. So what does that mean? Again, the same idea as Rashi explained, that it means he never went four Amos without wearing tzitzis. Amar le Rav Yosef, the Rav Yosef bereda Rabba. Rav Yosef said to Rav Yosef, the son of Rabba. Very interesting. Rabba had a son named Rav Yosef. Rabba and Rav Yosef were sparring partners and they took Rosh Yeshiva after each other, and I guess close friends. And so Rabba had a son named Rav Yosef as well. I wonder if he was named after his colleague and his chavrusa, Rav Yosef. But anyway, Rav Yosef said to Rabba's son, Rav Yosef, after Rabba had passed away, Avuch b'may zahir tfei. I presume it was after his death. He says, your father, what was he very careful about? We know Rabba did die before Rav Yosef. Rabba was the Rosh Yeshiva. I think it was of Surah. I don't think it was Pambadisa, but I'm not positive. And then, and Rav Yosef originally was offered the position. Maseches Brachos, we spoke about this. He was originally offered the position, and he said, nope, because I know I'm not gonna live very long after I have it. He had this dream. So he let Rabba take the position, and after Rabba passed away, Rav Yosef became Rosh Yeshiva. So Amar Lei, he said to him, but tzitzis, he was very careful about tzitzis. That was like, like Rav Steinberg, very makbid on tzitzis. So Rav was very careful about tzitzis. Yom achad hava kasalik bedarga. One day he was up on a darga. He was like up on some sort of ladder. Ifsik lechuta, there was a thread that of his tzitzis that tore. Velo nachis, he refused to get down. He did not move from his spot. Ve'osa kama delo rame. And he, what is this kama that... So Rashi says, "Adirami shetakana v'zeloshon talias tzitzis." It means that he didn't get down from this ladder until he finished retying the tzitzis thread, so that his tzitzis were in good condition for him to get down. He didn't just take off the tzitzis and get down. He made sure not to move without the tzitzis. Then Rabbi Tesili dechichazina tzurba mirabon and deshale mesechte. Rabbi says, "You should give me. I should be rewarded because when I see somebody, I see a tzurba mirabon, a young rabbi who yeshiva bacher who finished." Is a mesechta avidna yomatava. Where on Kufya Tesamad Aleph, I make a yom tov. I make a big special siyum. And Rashi notes l'tamidim Rosh Yeshiva haya. And he was a Rosh Yeshiva, and he would make a big deal about any Talmud finishing a mesechta, and he should be rewarded for that. Amar Rava, Rava says Tesi li, I should be rewarded. Dechi also tzurmi beranan l'kamai l'dina lo mezigna. He says that I also do something good for the young rabbanon. That when they come before me for a case, I don't put my head on the pillow until I've turned over and found schuyos for him. Rashi says any maniach Rashi akar, and he says that ad she'era im yesh b'dvarav l'schuso, meaning I pay extra careful attention. I don't go to sleep until I've turned over all options and made sure that if there's a schus for him, that the schus is out there. You know, presumably not a perversion of justice chas v'shalom, but rather a faith in the quality of a talmid chacham that there's likely schus to be found and give it the proper time to see that schus. Finally, the last point in the call of the day, call of the night, Amar Marbar of Ashi, Pasilna Le Litzurba Mirabanan Ladina. In a similar vein, Marbar of Ashi, very late Amora, says, I should be puzzled from judging a court case of young Rabbanan in my time. Why? Dechaviva like gufai, because I love them like myself. I love them like myself. When I see a young rabbi, I say, oh, I love him like myself. The ain't adam ro'a chova latzmo, and a person can't see anything wrong with somebody else. So meaning, I love Tamid Chachamim so much that I'm not going to be a fair judge to them, and therefore I'm puzzled to be a judge. Discussion whether he's just
speaking hyperbolically and demonstrating his great love to Mechacham, or he actually passing that lehalacha, but that's something that he felt he should be rewarded for. Actually, not necessarily. He didn't mention he should be rewarded for that. That was his statement. Tomorrow is going to continue to be a very interesting discussion, Kabbalah Shabbos, but we'll hold off for tomorrow.